All right, thank you guys for staying for this next session here. And if you want to be turning in your Bible, you can be finding the book of Ephesians chapter 4. And in this particular session, we've entitled it, Let's Talk. And so we're going to talk about talking. And that's always one of our favorite things to do. Who's the bigger talker in your family? If it's her, let us see that. How many of y'all say it's her? She's a bigger talker? No, seriously, how many of you say, no, it's him? Anybody here? It's him. And Miss Debbie's saying it's Harold. And who is it in this family? Is it me? Really? Man, who was it in your family, your mom and dad's family? Is it mom or dad? It was mom. I knew that. I just wanted to see if she'd agree with me. But in my family, it's definitely my mom. And she can talk the paint off a wall. And it's pretty amazing. Communication, you know, communication is something very special, isn't it? And you know, it's one of the greatest gifts that God gave to us is communication. Did you know that? It's a wonderful gift. He gave us the ability to talk to each other. It's a great, great, great gift. And I think I got it on the screen. Let me see that next line there, that next screen. Well, there's the end of the slide. Let's start that one over again. Go back. Communication is the foundation of our relationship. How many of y'all agree with that? Would you? Like, there was a day. Would it surprise you if I told you that there was a day that I did not love my wife? Would that surprise you? I didn't love her. And I'll tell you why. I didn't know her. We had never met. She's from Ohio. I'm from Tennessee. She's a Yankee. I'm a Southerner. How many of y'all know that? And her family's very different than my family, aren't they? Her family's very loud and loving and boisterous and just parties about everything. Her mother celebrated everything. And my family, not so much. They wouldn't see us for like 6 months, and I'd walk in the house. My parents don't even get up. They're like, hello, come on in. Glad y'all made it. See, we didn't know each other. But we met each other at a soccer game. A friend of mine said, there's a girl I want you to meet at the soccer game Friday night. And I said, oh, good, who is it? She said, it's going to be a surprise. And I said, well, I'm not going. And she said, oh, you can trust me. Well, she's from California. I wasn't going to trust her. And so finally she said her name is Beth Lee Dennis. Well, I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know Beth Lee Dennis, but I went back to the residence hall and looked up the yearbook. You know those yearbooks you get when you're in school? And I found last year's yearbook and looked up the Dennis's, comma, Beth Lee on page whatever, and I went to the soccer game. I don't know who won that game. I kind of do, actually, Brother Harold. I did, because that was the night we fell in love. That was the beginning. You know what we built that relationship on? Well, I mean, besides the fact that, you know, it was rugged good looks and all that stuff, it was a communication. We sat at a soccer game and talked up a storm. We didn't know what was happening out on the field, but I knew she had incredible blue eyes. And I was like, whoa, I could dive in those and swim forever. That was a good line, and all of you men should have written that down. But here's what happened. We talked. And boy, we talked a lot, didn't we? Back in those days, we wrote letters. How many of y'all remember those days? Y'all remember those days? We wrote letters. We spent 1 year apart after we graduated. Beth Lee went to teach in a Christian school in Pennsylvania, and I worked for Pensacola Christian College as a traveling representative. So I traveled and preached, and she stayed in Pennsylvania and taught. And we weren't together at all that year. But I'll tell you what I did every day that year. Every day that year, I was traveling by myself somewhere in some strange town, and I'd finish my work of the day and go to a restaurant and sit down and eat my meal. And after I ate my meal, I would stay at the restaurant, and I would write her a letter. Every day. Did one every day. Wrote her a letter. It was just communication. It's the foundation of our relationship, isn't it? Y'all with me on that one? Look at this next one. Give us the next screen there. Communication is the growth of our relationship. How many of y'all know this? When you stop talking, your marriage is over. And I don't mean it's ending. I mean, it's not there anymore. It's not happy. What makes a marriage grow? You talk to each other. And how many of y'all know this? Communication is more than just task-centric, isn't it? That's part of it. How many have kids? How many of y'all have kids? There's a lot of task-centric talk there, isn't there? Who's going to take them here, and who's going to pick up the milk, and who's taking the kids to school, and who's going to handle this, and the kids got to be there. And we are really a very child-centered, busy generation. So a lot of our talk, Beth and I work at marriage all the time, a lot of our talk is task-centric. You know, we got to do this today, and what are you going to do today, and how can I help you today, and there's a lot of task involved, but that's growth. Communication is not just the growth. There's one more up there. Look at this one. Communication is the beauty of our relationship. Y'all believe that? What makes a marriage real special is the communication. There's something beautiful about that. Isn't there? How many of y'all know that? We say this. You ever heard this? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. Y'all know that line? How many of y'all know that's the stupidest thing that's ever been said? Well, that's not true at all. Words do a lot of damage, but they also do a lot of beauty, don't they? They build. They're glorious. When you're encouraging and you're building. So here's what we find in the book of Ephesians. Every Christian ought to master the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 4, 5, and 6 is practical Christian living. And every Christian ought to know it. And one of the main things you'll find in Ephesians chapter 4 is that God is interested in our communication with each other. So look at Ephesians chapter 4 and look at verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 29. And let's see if your mic is working. Give it a test there. There it is. All right. And so Bethy's going to read it for us. Ephesians 4:29. Y'all read along and she'll read it for us.
Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers.
Now let's just chew on that a bit. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. Now what do you suppose that means? Does it mean we shouldn't cuss?
Yes.
All right. I was wondering if y'all... I mean, maybe y'all see that differently than I do. But it's, you know, it could mean that, couldn't it? Don't cuss. You know, it shouldn't cuss each other. Is this right or wrong? Yeah, I know it's getting late. Y'all help me out here. Christians shouldn't cuss at each other. Y'all with me on that? But that's really not what that verse means. It's not talking about cussing each other and using bad words. To understand what he means when he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, is you have to catch, it is in opposition to the second half of the verse. Corrupt communication is on the opposite side of the word edification. Now chew on that just a moment. So if on the one side of the verse is edification, what does the word edify mean? Do y'all know? It means to build. So he's on opposite sides here. If the one side says build, then what would corrupt communication be? To build or to what? To tear down. How many of you are aware of the fact you can really tear down a marriage with your words? How many of y'all are aware of that? And aren't we good at that? How many of y'all ever struggle with your tongue? Anybody here like that? Think of some verses about the tongue. Give me some. Power of life and death is in the tongue. Y'all believe that? My Granny Young, she's gone now. She's passed, as they would say here in Tennessee. She's passed. Granny Young carried a pistol. And got mad at her daughter-in-law when I was in the sixth grade and shot at her 3 times. Now, I suppose y'all wouldn't do that, would you? Would you? This is one quiet crowd. Y'all wouldn't do that, would you? You wouldn't shoot at each other. But Brother Harold just quoted for us, the power of life and death is in your tongue. You can kill a marriage with your tongue. Or you can build a marriage. Right? Think of other verses. What is it?
The mouth speaks what the heart is full of.
All right. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Somebody else? It's full of deadly poison. It's an unruly evil. Y'all go to church? Y'all read your Bible? Can you think of other verses on the tongue? There's a lot of them in there, isn't there? There's a lot of them. This one says, don't have corrupt communication. How many of y'all know that it's easy to tear down? It's a very easy thing to tear down. But what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to build up. How do we build?
Just like we just said, someone quoted the verse, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And I think a lot of times, if you're not in the habit of building in your marriage, it's probably because there's a lot of negativity going on in your heart first. Your thinking is negative about your spouse. And so you've allowed yourself to think of them in terms of, he doesn't do this, he doesn't do that, he never does this. He never read that, he forgot this, he forgot that, you know, and instead of thinking of all the ways that he does it right, all of the ways that he came through, all of the ways that he's amazing, all of the things you should be thankful for, and that is where all of the edifying talk is going to come from, because I'm thankful for him, I think he's amazing, I think he's handsome, I think he's gorgeous,
keep on going, baby. This is of the Lord.
I told him that last night just before he drifted off last night, I said, "You are the best preacher I have ever heard." And in his very sleepy voice, he said, "That's because you weren't with me."
How's the preaching at the conference was incredible, and it was amazing.
I don't believe that. Anyway, ladies, at least from my perspective, when we are thinking negatively about our husbands and only focusing on what they're not doing right, then we're going to tear down instead of build.
And ladies, can I ask you, does your husband ever do things wrong? Now, you can answer that honestly. Does your husband ever do anything wrong? Sure. But so notice how easy it would be then to move on the one side of this equation. Isn't it? It's a whole lot easier to be negative, isn't it? And we even have to be careful about our culture. Social media is such an incredible tool. It just is. I have this friend named Harold Vaughn who has like 1 million followers on Facebook. I'm just like, what in the world? I'm better looking. I'm a better preacher. And I only got 5,000 followers. And he has like 1 million. I mean, I don't know how he does it. It's just amazing. I think he pays people. And I think he's figured out how, you know, some of the people in the politics do it or something. I know he's got to. It can't be that easy. But they pay you. They pay you. Well, we need to get connected. Me and you need to connect on this. I didn't know that. But here's the whole deal. Isn't it easy to get on, say, an Instagram? And if you notice that, it's funny. One of the things that social media has done for us is give us a lot to laugh about, right? And one of the things we do to connect to our teenager who's home alone is we'll watch Instagram reels with her. She'll crawl up in our bed, and I don't know what is it about teenagers that they don't wake up till 11:15 at night, and when you're in your 50s, you're ready to go to bed at 9:15 at night. And we still got this teenager at home, and we're like, let's go to bed, and our teenager's like, yay, let's party. And we're like, we don't party any longer, not past 9 o'clock. And but we'll watch some Instagram reels with her, and they're funny. But you know, you got to be careful about those, because if you're not careful, they'll make you think negative, even in a humorous way. The Bible says we're to build. So let's just stop tonight and examine ourselves. Ladies, how good are you at building him? And men, how good are you at building her? I mean, when's the last time you complimented each other, really genuinely said, you know, you're amazing, and I'm really so impressed. I just am so impressed. I told Bethley, my dates are, my brain's tired. So somewhere you spoke recently, and where was that? That was in Macon, Georgia, and Mikado Baptist Church. Bethley spoke to the ladies, and later I heard the pastor say, to somebody, he said, "My wife is so disappointed," and I was, that kind of caught my ears. I was like. And she said, "My wife is so disappointed that we didn't get every lady in our church here this morning to hear Bethley speak." So I texted her and I said, "I just want you to know, they thought you were amazing, and I do too." Just a simple little thing. But she is amazing. I mean, isn't your spouse amazing? Make sure they know you think so. I mean, if nothing else, say to them, say, "I know you're brilliant. You know, you married me. I know you have incredible discernment. You chose me." And I mean, but seriously, do you build each other? You say, "Well, I'm kind of quiet. That's just not me." Well, you know what? Change it. God gave you the gift of communication so you can edify each other. Here's a good word for us tonight. Let's talk about edification. Let's build each other. Let's say things like, "You're amazing." And sometimes you can do that in gratitude. You can say, thank you for the amazing way you take care of the children. Thank you for the amazing way you take care of our house. Thank you for the laundry you do. Thank you that you do that for me. Thank you that you take care of that. Have you ever noticed that sometimes we fall into a rut to where, you know, you do that because you always do that, and he does that because he always does that, and she does that because she always does that. We just kind of take that for granted. But did you know that God gave us communication so that we can take the normal, mundane things of life and make them beautiful? Make them beautiful. We don't get home very often, and when we're home, it's busy. We haven't been home since the first week of September. And we'll get home in a week and a half for 3 days. And then we leave again. So here's what's going to happen when I get home. There's a ton to do. 8 weeks of mail, appointments, maintenance, the yard. There's always a ton to do. So we were home some months ago, and it was busy. I was running, doing, taking care of all kinds of stuff on my list. I'm at a lister, you know, write it down. I love lists. I write down things I've already done just so I can check it off. Y'all with me on that? How many of y'all with me on that? Anybody here like me? I love that. But I came running into the house. I have no idea why I came running into the house. But I came running into the house to get something in my to-do, you know, my day of getting stuff done at home. And my wife stopped me. She was at the kitchen counter, and she stopped me. And Bethley said to me, she said, hey, honey, in such a way that it called my night stop. And I looked at her, and she said, I just wanted to tell you how thankful I am for all the work you do when we're home to make our home so beautiful. And I was just, I mean, I will always remember that. I was like, wow. I was like, you want to make out or something? You know what I mean? I mean, like, this caught my attention right away. Like, hey, baby, I am quite the man, aren't I? It's just amazing how powerful words are. Now, we can be silly here. We're married people in this room. But the fact of the matter is, we ought to build. Do y'all build each other? Edification is the word. Anything you'd add to that?
I would add two things. Ladies, when we are being thankful, it does two wonderful things for our marriage. It builds our husband, and it gives us a happy heart. When we are not thankful, we are not happy people. Good. And there is always something to be thankful for, even in your marriage. And so, even if things are going poorly in your marriage, now, we're doing really, really well. So I can think of a lot of ways that I am thankful for David. But even if you're doing poorly in your marriage, surely you can sit down and think of one thing. And then thank them for it. Thank the Lord for it, and thank your husband for it, and you will find that your heart is a lot happier.
That's so true, isn't it? How many of y'all know that to be true? How many of you experienced that, haven't you? And so edification's a big one. Does this make sense to you? Here's what you can do right away in this couple's prayer advance. Here's what you can do right away this weekend. You can work on edifying each other. There might be something you need to talk about that's negative. Well, go ahead and talk about it. Maybe something you need to solve. Maybe you need help solving it. Sometimes you need to talk about something with somebody else to get somebody else to give you advice on how to overcome things. I read the other day that we do a lot of dumb things in life. I read that today. We do a lot of dumb things in life, but the author said, maybe the dumbest thing we do is not get help when we need it. I thought that was a good point. We do a lot of dumb things, but the dumbest thing we do is not to get the help we need when we need it. So if you're here and you need help, then let us know. We'll try to help you if we can. But it might just be something you need to talk. You might need to say, you know what? I've been negative and I'm sorry. I've allowed myself to get busy with the kids and I'm bothered and I'm busy and life's busy and the kids are busy and I'm tired and I'm weary and there's so many things going on and I've just been negative and I know it. Will you forgive me? You say it like this. You say, I'm negative and I know it and I have no excuse and I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? And then you say to your spouse, you say, you know what? I understand and I forgive you. So you might need to take care of something, but then go to work on it. Start even tonight. Think of all the things you could do tonight to build each other. Is he discouraged? Is he down? Is he frustrated about something? Build him. Is she insecure about something? Is she battling something? Then build her. If you want to get a good illustration, go to the Song of Solomon, read the first chapter of the Song of Solomon, and one of the first things you'll find that Shunammite, is it? I started to say Shulamite, but it's Shunammite, isn't it? The first thing the Shunammite, I have a degree from seminary, can you tell? The first thing the Shunammite lady did is she says something like this. She says, I am black, but I am comely. Now, she's not talking about skin pigmentation in the sense of, you know, white or black. In that sense, what she the word there in the Hebrew language is she's tanned. And she's worried about being tanned. You know why? Because Solomon is about to take her down to the palace. And the women down at the palace don't have to work in the vineyards for a living. She's a country girl. Those city girls down at the palace are pale. And if you studied culture, you'd find out in that day, if you were pale skinned, it was a sign that you were part. We would say in our culture, you were big dogs. You were part of the aristocracy. Your family was well-to-do. But if here's a girl who's all tan, now she would have been Middle Eastern. So being tan meant she had gotten really dark because they're already dark-skinned in the Middle East. And they get out in the sun, they get really dark. And she's worried because the girls are going to judge her about that. But you know what Song of Solomon tells us? Solomon, the first time he speaks, he builds her about that. He said, I just want you to know that your cheeks are comely. What's he doing? He's building her about an insecurity in her life. Men, don't you joke. Don't you discourage by joking. And I know there. You know me. I love to joke and laugh and talk, and you know that. But you've got to be careful in your marriage. Like, you know, sometimes men will get so negative about a monthly cycle that it's a negative time in their marriage. Oh, my word, here we go again. She's so emotional. And one guy said, you know, the difference in a let's see, how was it? What's the difference in a woman on her monthly cycle and a Doberman pincher? Well, lipstick is the difference. And I heard a guy tell that joke. Now, okay, can we laugh? Laugh. Okay, I mean, it's a joke. Okay. But here's the point. You got to be careful about that in your marriage, don't you? Don't tear each other down. Well, here's you know that's from God, don't you? That's not something she's doing herself. This is the way God made her. So what a time to edify. I know you're not feeling well, honey. I know you're not feeling well. This is a hard time. I'm aware of that. How aware of you? Maybe she's going through menopause. That'll change your life. Right? Maybe she just found out she's expecting a baby and her hormones are off the charts. But you can edify. Are you for your wife verbally? That's edification. When's the last time you told her she was beautiful? That's edification. When's the last time you told her eyes were lovely? When's the last time you told her that she's the most beautiful thing you have ever laid eyes on and you'd marry her all over again? When's the last time you told him he was amazing? You the man. You the man, honey. You twice the man I married. How many of you guys are twice the man she married? Admit it. A lot of you guys are. But see, it's building. Does this make sense? Any further thought on edification?
Ladies, there is a verse in Ephesians chapter 5. We're not going to go there, but in Ephesians 5:33, it says, the wife see that she reverence her husband. That is the word, hold him in awe. When was the last time you were in awe of your man? How hard he works, how he takes care of you, how he takes care of your household or your finances, whatever he does. When was the last time you were in awe of him? Not in awe of him like, are you kidding me? Is the laundry basket up 10? Not that kind of awe, but serious, amazing. I am so impressed with you. You are impressive to me. That's what the Bible's talking about. And that's a tall order, especially when you are entrenched in daily life. As life happens and the awe is dispersed. But the Bible tells us that we need to reverence him, we need to hold him in awe. And not just in your heart. Sometimes David will walk by and I'll think something in my heart. Wow, he's kind of good looking today. Or I like that outfit.
Every day.
Every day. Or, I just saw him, you know, do something around the house or whatever. And it'll go in here, but it won't come out here, out my mouth. And that's what we're talking about from Ephesians 4, is to let it come out of your mouth.
Speak up and encourage your spouse. Don't we men need that? Because men often will think it and then think about, now how do I say that? And then get distracted and forget that you were thinking it and it doesn't come in there again because you're a man. And it's gone forever because you're a man and it's gone. That box is closed and exploded and gone, right? So you got to think. You think, you know what, she's so beautiful, say it. You got to say, that's edification. Y'all with us on edification? A couple more words and we'll call it a night. Let's talk about edification. Let's talk about ministering grace. Do you see that in verse 29? Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace. He's talking about our tongues. How do you minister grace to each other? How many of you are aware of the fact that you are married to a sinner? If you're aware of that, raise your hand like this. How many of you know, how many of y'all are aware you're married to a sinner? Some of you didn't raise your hands. That's pretty impressive. Everybody here is married to a sinner, aren't they? How many of y'all know that living in a sin-cursed world means that sometimes your spouse is not up to par? Is this fair? So what do? We use our tongues to minister grace. Because here's what the devil wants you to do. The devil wants you to take the effects of sin in your spouse's life. Maybe they are you know, they got up on the wrong side of the bed and they're a little down, or they're frustrated, or they're discouraged, or they're tired, they're weary, they're busy, and they speak too quickly, or they're impatient, or they're harsh. You know what the Bible tells us we're to do? We're to minister grace. We're to serve grace to each other. How good are you at that? At giving grace to your spouse. When she's a little on the emotional side and unloading and you're tired and don't want to hear it, do you minister grace? Because one thing you got to find out about your wife is that she has to talk about it to heal it. You know, if you don't know that, you better write that one down. She is not healed until she's talked about it. She can't deal till she's talked. She can't heal, she can't deal till she's communicated it. That just rhymed. Joe catch that? That's just right off the top of the head. She can't heal or deal till she's talked about it. As men, what are we like? As men, we're like, I'm not talking about that. Men heal it by not talking about it. Isn't that right? Now, not every guy's that way, but generally speaking. But the point is, in our sin curse weaknesses, and your spouse has them, and you have them, what you do is you minister to grace to each other. You minister. What did that lady do on the Southwest flight I was on? You know what she did? She ministered grace to her husband, who had just been a jerk in front of an entire airplane of people. Why would a man treat his wife like that who can hardly walk? Because he got impatient. But she evidenced what Ephesians is telling us here. She ministered grace to him. She defended him. She showed that his negativity did not separate her from him. It endeared her to him. She turned what was negative to an endearment. She could have huffed and puffed and said, oh my word, all we're doing is flying, for crying out loud, and you always get so stinking uptight every time we're flying somewhere. Instead, she ministered grace and she said, he always gets so uptight when he's flying. She said it so sweetly. How y'all doing with your communication? Isn't that something? Any of us can start right there, can't we? How many of y'all know that any of us can improve on our communication abilities in order to walk in the Spirit and be what we ought to be? How many of y'all know that? Y'all know that? So let's do it. Let's do it. Ministering grace. You want to add to that one? Well, we have time here and we'll wind down shortly.
The terminology here actually means serving grace. So I don't know how many of you ladies like to cook. I love to cook. And I love to cook something that David loves to eat. It makes my heart incredibly happy when he sits down and he's like, I love this. It makes my heart really sad when he's like,
I'm sitting here thinking, have I done that recently?
No, not since the very, very early days of our marriage. And then even then, he was like, you know what, it would be okay if you don't make that again.
give an illustration here. Help us. Oh, there you go. There you go.
Tuna casserole. I love tuna casserole because it's like comfort food or whatever. So when he goes somewhere, the kids and I have tuna casserole.
My family had never had that. That's not biscuits and gravy. Can I get a witness? But I can eat it, just not my favorite.
So anyway, it's serving grace. So ladies, think of that. His favorite food. That's what this is. When he's being a little bit grumpy, a little bit on the wrong side of the bed, and when he didn't pick up the brand that you always buy at the grocery store. Seriously, you don't know that I always buy that brand of peanut butter? No, he doesn't know that. He really doesn't. All he knows is peanut butter is in the pantry, and he goes and gets it and makes a sandwich. That's all he knows. So,
can we get a witness here, brothers? Can we get a witness?
This is serving grace. So think of it that way. I am serving you your favorite food right now. I'm going to serve you grace. And sometimes that looks like not saying anything. So that when he comes in with the wrong peanut butter. This is a silly illustration. But when he comes in with the wrong peanut butter, you don't say, why didn't you buy? Or, seriously, you didn't buy? You go, this one will be good to try. Or, you don't say anything at all. You just put it away in the pantry. And you said, thank you for going to the store. So I did not go. Praise Jesus. So sometimes it looks like not saying anything at all. And ladies, we're good at this. We have an example in the Bible. Her name is Martha. We are really good at not saying anything, but saying a whole lot. So we might think we're ministering grace because we're like, I'm not going to say anything, but things get really noisy in the kitchen. The cupboard doors are a little forceful when they're closed. The pots and pans make a lot of noise. Maybe you're in the laundry room and you're slamming the dryer, and your husband's like, what's going on? You know, he knows that's not ministering grace. Serving grace is, I am going to give you your favorite right now, which is a very sweet wife.
And sometimes it's the way you say it, isn't it? You know, like you can roll your eyes and belittle a husband who brings home the brand of peanut butter that you absolutely never buy, or you can say that in a way that's okay, isn't it? To say, thanks for going and buying the groceries. I'm so glad I didn't have to go. Normally I get Jif, but we'll try this one. I mean, I'm not brain dead, but if my wife says that, I'm thinking, next time we'll get Jif. And maybe I swing by Walmart on my way home tomorrow and get her Jif and I eat Biff. Or whatever the other one is. Y'all with me on that? I'll eat the other one, honey. Here's your Jif. But see, you can turn a very negative, dumb situation that can damage a relationship into something sweet and funny. And so do that. So we got one more word, and it's time to go. Edification. We actually had two. We'll just give one more. Edification, ministering grace. And then listen to this verse down here. The last verse in chapter 4 says, and be ye, what's the word? Y'all know? How many of y'all ever say that to your kids? Be ye what to one another? Hey, kids, be kind to one another. Sometimes we need to say to ourselves, hey, husband, be kind to your wife. Because how many of y'all know that we live in a culture where it is very easy to be unkind? How many of y'all know that? This is a messed up world, isn't it? And you know, it's getting messier. People are impatient. People are annoying. People are on edge. People just don't work hard. But don't allow this culture we live in to damage your marriage. Kindness is always in order. Speak to each other kindly. Treat each other kindly. Respond to each other kindly. You say, somebody asked us the other day in a conference, they said, how do you fight fairly? How can you have a successful fight in a marriage? And my answer was, fight in whispers. Agree that when we have a fight, we're going to whisper. Try it. I am so mad at you. I just want you to know I am so mad at you. It's a whole different way to fight. You ever tried that? And you know it's biblical? She's not wrong. But have you ever read in the Bible where the Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath? You know why? Because when you show someone the respect of lowering your voice in a conversation and treating them kindly, it can diffuse the situation. Guys, are you kind? Do you tend to roll your eyes at your wife? Do you tend to, you know, I love to joke, but as men, we got to be careful about joking. If you're a funny guy and your wife's uncomfortable about your joking about something, then I say this gently, well, you're an idiot to keep joking about it. If it's bothering her, stop it. Don't be an idiot. Be smart enough. You're smarter than that. If you know she's bothered that you're joking about something, well, then stop it. Be kind. You wouldn't let your kids treat each other that way. Don't treat each other that way. Kindness is just something as simple as, thank you for that meal, sweetheart. You're an amazing cook. That's kind, isn't it? Thank you for making the bed. I appreciate you doing that. Thank you. Thank you for cleaning that up. Thank you for taking care of the kids. Thank you for homeschooling our children. Thank you for coming to my service every night and sitting on the front row and smiling at my jokes. I always know it's a good joke if she laughs out loud. Write that one down. But thank you for that. It's called kindness. Talk to us about kindness.
Sometimes kindness is the way that you receive the communication that we're talking about. I don't know a lot of you here, and I don't know what situation your marriage is in. You may have come here, just as David said in the last session, for encouragement, but you may have come because you need serious help. In a session like this, oh, it sounds all fun, and sure, if things are going well, I'm sure that works. But we're way far beyond that. But ladies, a kindness would be to your husband if he picks up a point or two from this session and he tries. Kindness would be to receive it gracefully. Instead of in your heart thinking, okay, what are you trying to do? We have so much we need to talk about, and you're going to tell me I look pretty. Instead of that, say, thank you. And then try to say something like that. Because it does work to be kind one to another, to edify, to minister grace, even if you need a lot of help in your marriage. This is a good place to start.
And, you know, that's so simple, isn't it? Because sometimes we are more kind to people we work with than we are to our spouse. If I show more kindness to the person that says to me, welcome to Walmart, than I do to the one I made a covenant relationship with, a covenant promise with Almighty God that I would stay with you and be your spouse in better and in worse and in rich and in poor. Well, if I'm more kind to a person at Walmart than I am to Bethley Joy, there's something wrong with me. It doesn't mean life's always perfect. You know, looking at a perfect couple. But what we find is in our marriage that if we work on edification, we build each other, and we minister grace when the hard times are there. How many of y'all know that wedding vows are not made for the good times? How many of y'all know that? Y'all know that? We don't stand at a wedding and go, for better or for poor, for better. We say that for poor, right? In sickness and in health is not for health. We say the vow for sickness. You can expect there to be problems in your marriage because you're married to a sinner. You can expect to rub each other the wrong way. You can expect to respond to each other incorrectly. You can expect that there's going to be issues. You can expect all of that. But these three words on the screen right here can change everything. If you will start building each other and you do it verbally, and you will minister to grace to each other, and you do it verbally, and you're kind to each other, start there. It's ministering grace when you are so upset at some things that's going on in your marriage, and you just are so bothered, but your spouse decides to try, and you respond in kindness and serve that spouse grace. You know what you just did? You took a huge step forward in your marriage toward healing. Sometimes we don't even need the counseling. Sometimes we go for counseling, and really we could solve the problem if we'd start here. Many marriage problems can be solved right here. Start tonight edifying, ministering grace, and being kind. Just be kind. Don't show me more kindness than you would show your husband. I heard that. Don't. I know what my wife was like. Don't you do that. Don't you show my wife more kindness than you would show to your wife, right? So just be kind. Same way you'd make your kids do it. Don't you talk to your brother that way? All right, then practice that in your own marriage. Don't you respond to your sister like that? Don't respond to your wife like that. Be kind. Does this make sense? Yes or no? Isn't this simple? Don't you just have how the Bible is just so simple? Nothing I can get up tonight and, you know, you can go to the Christian bookstore and buy 50 books on marriage. If I remember correctly, there's a well over 50,000 marriage books on Amazon. Go buy one, read them. Read all of them if you want to. But you go to the Bible, and I love how simple the Bible keeps it. Bible says things like this. Husbands, here's all you got to do. Love your wife and be a good leader. And wives, partner with your husband. That's called submission. And show him respect. And the Bible says, here's how you get along with each other. You edify, administer grace, and be kind. You start there this weekend, and I promise you, your marriage will be something special. Because isn't that what makes a marriage beautiful? I joked about my dad-in-law calling Mom Dennis hot lips, but he did, didn't he? But you know what it did? That communication made their marriage sweet. It made their marriage special. The way he treated my mother-in-law, the way my dad-in-law, my pastor, treated my mother-in-law, made their marriage something really sweet. Even as they came to the end, and Dad's obviously not going to make it, that sweetness paid off. There's going to come a day you and I are going to go through the valleys and darkness and difficulties, and one of these days, one of us are going to go home to meet heaven unless the rapture takes, are going to go home to meet Jesus unless the rapture takes place. And we'll just go together. But these are the things that make those times beautiful, when you have a really sweet relationship because of the way you talk. Have it made sense? Anything you'd add before we close? Any question or comment? All right, the first question's always hard. Is there a second one? All right, then let's have prayer, and Brother Harold will dismiss us tonight. Now, dear Heavenly Father, Beth and I always need your help to live your word. Help us to be gentle and sweet. In the words of these verses, help us to edify, to minister grace, and to be kind. Lord, it seems so, in some ways, I guess, silly to be so elementary at a couple's retreat, at a couple's prayer advance. And yet, Lord, it's so important that if we fail here, we can destroy an entire marriage. Help us, I pray, and help our friends in this room, I pray as well. And in the name of Jesus, amen.